Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a glorious sunny Vancouver afternoon with the wonderful opportunity to speak with Julie Noyes, who's the Collaborative Veterinary Learning and Development Manager at VetBloom at the Ethos Veterinary Health. And she and her co-authors have a paper coming out in the July 2020 issue of Medical Education entitled A Systematic Review of Digital Badges in Healthcare Education that I'm very much looking forward to speaking with her about. Julie, you're sitting home now amongst the many social isolates in the world, but doing it with a relatively young baby. So first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's fantastic to have this opportunity to chat with you. And yes, I am here with my young son. So social isolation really hasn't affected us since we've been really concentrating on him for the past 6 months.
It's a busy time of life at the best of times. So you're doing well to be able to do this and that at the same time.
Yeah, I'm trying.
So the paper, as I just mentioned, is about digital badges in healthcare education. You're coming from a veterinary background. Do you mind maybe explaining to our listeners just to set the context in terms of what is collaborative veterinary learning and development and sort of how you come to be interested in publishing somewhere like Medical Education?
Absolutely. So my position, even though I am a veterinarian by training, I'm also an educational psychologist through my PhD training. And when I went through that additional educational training, it really opened my eyes up to the fact that there are so many parallels between different types of healthcare education. And in the veterinary world, sometimes we tend to develop our methods of instruction and practice a little bit in isolation from human medicine, and my position has allowed me to identify those parallels and commonalities to help us do better in veterinary education, but at the same time, also identify practices both in instruction for clinical practice and educational practice that can benefit all health education fields. So I feel very fortunate to have this collaborative position, meaning that I can collaborate with individuals from multiple health fields and really try to push education to the forefront and get us all using those evidence-based methods that can help with clinical and pre-training education in healthcare.
And you mentioned at the start of this paper that this effort to look at what the literature has to tell us about digital badges stems at least in part from thinking about competency-based education. So I infer and trust then that the same sort of movement is taking place within veterinary medicine as it is within medical education more generally?
It is, and it's really an exciting time in veterinary education because I would guarantee any university that you would talk to is probably going through a curriculum reform to try to model their curriculum after the competency-based medical education approach in a complete way. We've been striving towards that method for several years now as a field, but really the big push has come in the past year. And that's really part of the reason why we wanted to write this paper, because digital badges are part of that movement and can help us refocus from strict grading systems that really have no function beyond the classroom to this new innovative instructional and assessment method that individuals can take with them in a professional development manner as lifelong learners.
So that begs the question as to what are digital badges and why did you think they had such great potential to fulfill those roles?
That's a great question. And I will be honest, when I first started to learn about digital badges, I thought they were honestly a little bit cheesy. I thought they were just something that I would see on a website that everybody had a digital badge and it had a flashy picture on it and some words. And how can these actually be used for education? You know, that doesn't really make sense to me. But as I got to know more about them, I realized that they're so much more than just a visual representation of a company or even of an achievement. Because beyond that visual component, they have embedded metadata. So essentially, inside them, they contain very important pieces of information that divulge why an individual has been awarded such a badge. For example, they will give the criteria of what an individual had to accomplish in order to be awarded that badge. So in terms of our medical education students, if we're thinking about, okay, can this student do an appropriate physical exam? And say we watch them do an exam and we give them a grade. What does that grade really mean? It means they went through the steps that we had on our rubric and they satisfied those steps. But when they move on and the next person comes across this student, they take on faith that that individual can conduct an appropriate physical exam because they got the good grade, right? But if this individual has a digital badge that documents why they received that competency in conducting a physical exam, then we can understand those individual criteria by which they were actually evaluated. So it holds a whole world of information that explains assessment criteria, everything that the individual accomplished to be able to be awarded that badge, and also, potentially most importantly, it divulges the credibility of the institution or entity that's defining that performance criteria in issuing that badge. So it's not just that anybody can get these badges. It's also saying, hey, this individual can do this great competency, and we as an institution has the credibility that's also embedded in that badge. So we can no longer rely just on faith that individuals can accomplish these competencies, but actually have evidence.
And so in your experience, when these things are used, they travel with the student, obviously, and provides a mechanism for feeding forward. Are they typically feeding forward into progress committees or to individual clinical preceptors? Or to whom does a student or professional typically share these achievements?
Yeah, so I think what we're starting to get into is a discussion of the ecosystem that evolves around the digital badges. So I discuss in the paper that, you know, like any other instructional tool, a digital badge is just a tool. And if we don't have a pedagogical strategy behind them, like creating an ecosystem, then they really don't mean anything to the user. So an ecosystem is made up of not only the person who earns the badge, but also the institution that issues the badge, and then also those who consume the badge. And I like to think of this sort of as like a bullseye. So if the student's in the middle, those concentric rings building outwards are the consumers of the badge. And right now, since this tool is relatively young, because we just had coining of this phrase, digital badge, in 2010, and you know it's only been in medical education for a relatively short amount of time, the consumers of these badges tend to be in those immediate concentric rings around the students. So that would be the institutions where they're actually receiving them. And then the next step out would be their employers. So they can use these badges that they're collecting and being awarded in their institutions to then demonstrate their competencies to their employers so that when they're hired, those employers know that they have those competencies that it says they have on their CV or their resume. And what we're striving toward in the future is to grow that ecosystem, so to build out those concentric circles so that it starts to include licensing bodies and other entities that will start to utilize these badges and competencies in conjunction with one another so that this ecosystem grows and builds and we create a standardized network of these competencies that we expect our students to be able to achieve and also perform upon graduation.
I should interject just a little bit for anybody who happened to have missed it in the title. This model that you're describing came from an effort at systematically reviewing the literature around digital badges and the methodological details, etc., that one might want can be found in the text. But I'm more interested in taking advantage of the time I have with you to talk again about the themes that you saw derived and the various pieces that contribute to that ecosystem that you were just describing. Can you tell us a bit more about how learner characteristics or novelty or those sorts of things seem to contribute to people's engagement, whether at the consumer level or otherwise?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the methodology, because initially starting this project, I was really hoping that we could conduct a meta-analysis. Really, if we could have that quantitative measure of effect size, that would be just a fantastic piece of data. But of course, because this is such a new concept, we don't have a lot of that really hard evidence yet. And we actually have a real paucity of empirical evidence. So like you mentioned, we relied on drawing out themes from the literature. And one of those major themes are those learner characteristics that you mentioned. And this is, again, really the same with any other instructional tool that we use. We need to understand the learner characteristics that moderate the effects of those tools. Otherwise, we're just using them blindly, and learning is basically a serendipitous process. So by investigating those learner characteristics, on the surface, it looks like things like gender may actually have an influence on the motivational use of digital badges, and potentially also age, and maybe even the preference to use games. But when we looked a little bit closer at those learner characteristics, we realized that gender actually isn't a major moderating variable on the use of digital badges. It's actually the type of motivation that affects those learners. So digging down a level deeper from gender, we come to motivational characteristics, whether you're basically motivated by receiving a badge because it's that external motivation, right? It's that competitive nature, like, oh, I got this badge, I have 10 badges, and right, my friend has 5. And then there's those who are motivated by the inherent value of the badge, by it representing the fact that they've achieved an accomplishment. It demonstrates that they have a capacity, an ability, or competency. So this is really important, because if our learners are motivated by these external rewards, then we want to think about the design of our digital badges. It doesn't mean that we either use badges with externally motivated students or internally motivated students. What it means is we design them according to how they are motivated. And just a little bit of a spoiler here, we can design digital badges according to those types of motivation. We can design performance-oriented badges to really evaluate and award students for performing. So they really have to do a lot of work and pass an assessment to get that badge. And that really calls to those inherently or internally motivated students, versus those badges that we award to students for simply participating. So participatory badges, they can just kind of rack them up in the numbers and not necessarily have to go through that rigorous process of accomplishment. That appeals to the more externally motivated students. So that's just one example of how we really need to pay attention to the design, the type of badge, and align that with the type of learners that we have in our audience for instruction.
And speaks very eloquently, as you said, to deliberate nature of really any educational process. If people are thinking through how to use these tools as opposed to just trusting that they will do everything for everybody, then we can hopefully get ourselves into a better state where we're able to take real advantage of what they can provide. Which leads me to the last question I'll ask, which is referring back to your thinking about the need to create an ecosystem and the amount of thought that is required to do the sorts of things you're describing. For those who are new to this idea, where would you recommend they begin? It's obviously not simply a matter of creating a picture in a Word file or something that can be passed around. How does one go about thinking about creating an ecosystem from the ground up, given what you've seen in your efforts?
That's a great question. So where I would begin is starting to think about how we can help our students continue their careers beyond that primary training in medical education programs. What is important for us to connect with beyond that? And that is the world of their future employers and the licensing bodies. And it really will take a step towards collaborating between multiple different institutions and entities that don't always come together for the more broad picture of education. So if we start to think about building ecosystems, then we start to think about getting together some instructors from a medical education program, some maybe private practitioners who are involved in the hiring process, and also individuals from licensing bodies, and coming together and thinking about how we can use this mechanism as a digital portfolio to create a transition as students move through their medical education program into their careers and then develop competencies as they go along. So it's no small task by any means. This is asking us to build bridges between corporations, nonprofit institutions, academic entities, which can be difficult. And I can speak mostly in the veterinary world. This can be an incredibly challenging task, but it does require this to fully, and I believe this wholeheartedly, to fully adapt to a competency-based system. Because what are those competencies that we're defining in academia if they're not also valued and carried out once students get into their positions in their career and then maintain their licenses throughout their lives? So this ecosystem effect, whether it's for digital badges or any other learning implementation strategy, I think it's the future and the next step of really coming together and outlining a path where everyone comes together in the field and truly values a competency-based approach to education.
Well, and that leads me to believe that what you're advocating for is, as much as anything, using this as a stimulus to enable some of that thought and some of that deliberate design at a system level to try to ensure that our processes are somewhat comprehensive and cohesive and mutually aligned in the directions that we're hoping for, which all seem like much grander messages than simply thinking about badges the way I think many people have as a credentialing technique.
Absolutely. And that's ultimately why I fell in love with digital badges, because it's a great opportunity. It's a platform to reach to that next level and collaborate as a field, because everyone in that ecosystem for this type of learning structure benefits by being involved. The students benefit by having a portfolio of their learning. Instructors get a powerful piece of instructional and assessment material. And also those at the other end of the ecosystem, the consumers, get exactly the information that they need and want about those individuals who hold those badges. And just to take it one step further in that concentric circle vision, at the outer edges of that circle are our patients and our clients. And they can also use these badges as consumers to say, well, what competencies does my doctor have? What exactly are their special skills? What does it mean that they're trained here or there? They can use these badges as well to become more informed patients and clients. So it really completes every aspect of the field.
Thank you, Julie. We'll leave the listeners who want to know more to go find the paper if they would enjoy some of those details and have been as intrigued as I have by the messages that you've just shared. To enable that, I'll remind them that the article is entitled A Systematic Review of Digital Badges in Healthcare Education, and you'll find it in the July 2020 issue of Medical Education. You're modeling the collaborative word that is in the title of your position, Julie, just in the way that you speak about this. So congratulations on the work and congratulations on your position and congratulations on your new baby.
Oh, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure, Kevin. And I look forward to seeing the article in print. And if anybody has any questions, I'd love to hear from folks.